but it is very important to present it. And the last meeting, hang on, I may have my here. Hang on, sorry about that. I did turn the mic on this time, but then didn't quite put this on right. So here we go. Now, I think that ought to be a little better with the audio. Very good. Okay. The first time I did it in a meeting, it was so well received. And it's very important for me today to communicate what I'm trying to do. God loves us. God's way is right. We get caught up in situations, snares, all kinds of snares. I'm going to talk about one kind of snare, but this is a battle that affects us all. How do we deal with how do we live? Our relationships. What does God's will reveal? What should we see when we find ourselves in a path that's not of God's will? I want to tell you, I present this lesson in love for all men. And I'm going to talk to you about people that I loved and have worked with. Some that I've helped to become Christians and win the battle. Some that I've watched in pain from a distance where even today they're going down a path that is absolutely destructive. So this morning I want to talk to you about God's grace, transgender identity, and homosexuality. The one thing that God offers us is freedom. I have found that whenever somebody's caught in a snare of Satan, they may say, oh, this is the lifestyle, but you know what? In their heart of hearts, they're not in a place they want to be. And that's particularly true in the things we're addressing today. The situations I'm addressing today, I want to tell you, when I see somebody going down this path, my heart aches for them. I want to talk to them. I want to help them. God loves us. He knows how we're put together. And so this morning, as we talk about God's grace, whatever situation we may be in, God will give us freedom from bondage. I love the servant songs, Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. It's speaking of Jesus, by the way. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. There are some sins that not only you do in private, but oftentimes it separates you and you end up in a very bad place where you're caught in almost a prison, where it's very hard not only to escape the temptation, but then you have very destructive relationships that's very hard to escape. Sin will keep going, taking you in a certain direction that you don't want to go, but God says, I can help you. Again, one of the servant songs, speaking of Jesus, Isaiah 49:8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. And they shall feed along the roads, and their pasture shall be on desolate heights. Did you know there's a lot of people today, counselors, government officials, and other things, that says there's some sin you get into that you can't change because that's the way you're made. And they would say that you're just going to go down this path, and you can't change that path. And I want to tell you, when God says we can follow a path, it is apt. Absolutely true. You can escape this. Understand, God's word is right. God wants a relationship with all men, and there's just so much power when we find that. God created us in Psalms 103. Know the Lord that He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. God made us. He knows us. John 10:10, here's what Satan does. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. This life and the life to come. So that's the message I'm going to present to you today. A message of hope. But I will tell you this very plainly. The perspective I come from today is I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was raised from the dead, and the Bible is absolute truth. So I want to tell you where I come from. There are people today following the political culture. And by the way, brethren, politics is extremely dangerous to your spiritual health. There are things being plainly taught that really this postmodernism is another religion, and they have a worldview. And you need to make sure you know who your king is. Appreciate the song led today. Is Jesus our king? If it is, then this is what follows. And so as we talk about these things, let's go talk about one more thing, which we've really talked about, and that's God's grace. Did you know there are people today, churches even been formed in this area, that I think they're almost, how can I say it, they're reactionary groups? And they'll say, I'm escaping legalistic churches, and I want to believe in the grace of God. But when you begin to analyze these folks, they stand for almost nothing. That's what postmodernism does. There's no absolute truth. And when you try to say there's some standard, they're going to be angry at you. But the only standard they have is there's no standard. Of course, there's a contradiction in all of that. But God's grace, you want to talk about God's grace? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people zealous for good works. How about sexual practices? My relationship with my wife, my relationship with other people. God's spoken on this. And there's nothing new under the sun. You start talking about these topics, you go back and look at the Roman emperors, you go back and look at history. These were problems that existed when Jesus came to this earth. When you read Romans 1, you read about all of these things existed then, and the Word of God is clear. So we want to first start off with what does the Bible teach? I appreciate Pat Donahue and some of the debates he's had over years where there are people that say, well, you know, these practices of men being with men and women with women, they try to contend the Bible authorizes that. I remember going to a debate back in about 15 years ago that he conducted, and it was pretty shocking to see the approach taken. Sadly. Anyway, I've seen brethren that have once were part of me in a congregation going toward one of these non-traditional churches that openly upheld some of these things. But let's go back to scriptures. The Bible is not just random rules, but it's things from the Creator, the holiness of God. This is a key verse here, frankly. If you want to talk about how oftentimes we get into a mess and we get into very, very unfortunate relationships, we talked about last night, sometimes it begins in the home. Sometimes it happens because of trauma from sources outside the home is not aware of. But the Bible says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We can change. There's no practice we have to stay in. There's none. And I want to tell you, if you're struggling with this, you have loved ones that are struggling with this, we love you. You can come down this path. Matter of fact, all of us in some sense are in the same boat with you. We have our own battles that we're facing. A Christian is one who's saved by the grace of God. We accept the standards that he gives. We want to pursue holiness, and we pursue that. We pursue that not as perfect people. And we don't look down on you for your struggles. We don't somehow hate you and just cut you off because you're struggling. Every man has to deal with sin. We say, come on, let's face reality and let's stand with the Lord. That's the stand this church takes. That's the stand every Christian ought to take. Now, I wish I could tell you that every Christian does that. I converted a couple of men that were openly living in a homosexual relationship in the early 90s, and I was pretty shocked at how the church initially received them. They changed that. And sometimes Christians, and I know you go back generations, a lot of people don't understand this struggle. I hope to help this morning as we talk about these things. It's very important to understand that God can change us and that we are pursuing this from a common path of our own struggles. I want to give you a little background of an individual, and I'll be talking about him back and forth. We're going to look at some scriptures in a minute, but I want to feel one of the life-changing events in my life. Yvette and I had just got married. We were in a church in Bessemer. And one of the first problems we had to face, there was a couple in their 50s that had a bad marriage relationship, and it was public. Sometimes I'd come in on Sunday morning, to the only way people could come into the building, and we had the mother there, very upset, crying right there that everybody sees when they first came in, and the husband was sitting up here stoic like that. And it was a public display, and one of the first things I started doing was trying to work with both of them, and we had great success in working with them in their struggles. But I remember in working with the lady, she said, "I think my son may be a homosexual." I said, "Okay." And he says, "Yeah, he used to be in the church, but you know, we caught him with some pornography, and then now he's out of the home. We don't see much of him anymore." And so I decided, you know, I need to prepare myself for this. I need to try to learn some things. And I remember getting a book at that time. I think it was Whatever Christians Should Know About Homosexuality by Tim LaHaye. And that started opening my eyes. And again, I'm telling you, when we talk about this path, there's a lot of variables, okay? I'm not saying one size fits all, but in this case, this young man, Ray, had been raised in a very angry home. His father had been angry and distant toward him, and I love his father. We started doing evangelism together. And there was a lot of complicating situations here, but one thing I know for a fact, Ray felt rejected by his dad. And after Ray became converted, I remember sitting there eating ice cream with him and talking to him, and one of the things he wanted more than anything in his life was to be connected to his dad. And he found that before he died. And we ended up, the reason why we found out he was a practicing homosexual is because he got AIDS in a time where AIDS was a death sentence. And I remember his dad being very upset about it. He says, "I want you to go with me and see Ray and his roommate." And we did. You know what we did? We got him into a Bible study. And we studied the resurrection of Christ. And it was very interesting as we went through that study. I remember the roommate followed me out to the kitchen after about the third study. He says, "You know, Larry, when you first started coming over here, we hated it. But now we're looking forward to it." And it took several months, but both of them renounced that lifestyle, was baptized into Christ. And Ray, to the point of his death, was trying to convert others. So I wanted to give you my perspective. And you know that changed my preaching. You talk about the lesson last night. You know where that lesson came from? From my working with Ray and seeing how family dynamics can greatly affect our children. The others in the family didn't go toward homosexuality or these things, but you had depression issues, anger issues. And so again, I'm not going to re-preach my lesson last night, but I want you to know where this is coming from. You can change. There are people that are put in very difficult circumstances. They are responsible for their behavior. I'm not saying it's always the case of the parents. Please understand this. But I am saying there are factors, whether it be unknown abuse that occurs, but there are things that happen where people get caught in a trap. They get caught in a snare. We can help them escape. We can. The gospel can do that. It's important as we go through Scripture, though, to see exactly. God knows us. In Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they were without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened." You know, there are a lot of reasons why people turn from God. Sometimes they sit a lot of anger. You know, as we talked about earlier, one of the first concepts that a child has of God is the Father. What if you have an angry and distant father? It's very hard, even, you know, it really, particularly for children, their minds can become very confused. And there's a difficulty here in conceiving God cares about him. And here, these people that reject God, they profess themselves to be wise, but they came fools. And then you continue reading Romans 1. Romans 1 talks about, okay, there is a process. By the way, I want to make this clear. Somebody who's tempted toward these things and they're caught in the early stages of these things, that is so far better than going down the line and becoming, going and increasing in the practice. So I wanted to make this very clear. As time, that someone being caught early has a wonderful opportunity, but even you go later, they can change. And that's what I'm talking about in this case. But one thing that happens, once you start going down a wrong path, you're going to find you start losing relationships with people that you need. You're going to find the practices that you just started suddenly become very dominant. It's just true of all sin. It's not just this sin. It says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, dishonor of their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up. This is the second time you see this. To vile passions. For even women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, here's the third time you see this. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God tries to persuade us not to sin and try to teach us of his love and his grace. But you know what? If you reject that, you know what God does with us? We're talking about all of us, frankly. Any sin it may be that we're particularly struggling with, what happens? We continue in that sin. God starts cutting off restraining factors and makes us go faster into sin. Now, we choose it. What God does is take the restraining factors away and you go deeper and you stay in that. The restraining factors can be taken off more and you go even deeper. God loves us. He wants us to see we're in a mess. And sometimes with some people, you just got to go the whole place until you finally, hopefully, wake up and say, my life is miserable. That's true of all sin, including this one. And so, how do you help folks? You know, it's fascinating as you look, and we'll talk at the end of this lesson about how people defend these practices. But you know, those defenses altered over the times. In the 80s, you know what I would hear publicly? I would never choose this lifestyle. I would be crazy to choose this lifestyle. Now, today people say, this is a great lifestyle, and it's all good. And so it's very interesting to see the different ways people try to defend it. But it's not defendable, not from a Bible standpoint. And so I have some quotes. I'm not going to dwell on those today. I've worked with people in Auburn as an elder. We had a lot of situations, most of them private, in situations you would not imagine, where we had those, some early in their temptations, and they actually came to us as one young man came to us as elder, help us, and we worked with him, talked with him. We had some situations that came up. Again, we caught early in a path. Sometimes when you're younger, you start going down that path, and it's great to catch it early. If you look at the statistics, and I think I'm going to probably move these charts very quickly because I'm probably going to go off of my outline. But one of the worst things that can happen to a young man or a young woman in these practices is finally to come out of the closet. The promiscuity levels go off the chart when somebody comes out of the closet, because then what happens, they connect themselves in relationships when they identify themselves by their sexual desires. That is not good for anybody. I should be identified as a man or a woman. And when I begin to identify myself as some of my sexual practices, somehow that becomes the most dominant thing about what I'm about. And no man, man or woman, in any sexual relationship should be identified by their sexual activity. That is not good. Ray, who I worked with, I remember talking to him. I read that book by Tim LaHaye, and I'm kind of like, whoa. This is a lifestyle that is so foreign to me, I could have not have imagined it. And Ray had come out of the closet, and he had gone way down this path. And there was one group, there's different percentages, different situations, but the largest group of those who have identified themselves as homosexuality, by the time they enter their 40s or early 50s, would have 500 to 1,000 partners in their life. There's one secular writer talk about homosexuality, freedom too far, and he talked about the people he worked with. In some cases, they might have 5 partners in one day. Go to a park or go somewhere else. Now, again, not everyone that goes down this path, this is a more advanced thing. It's so good to catch it early and to fight this, but again, when I looked at that, let me tell you what that is. That's a lifestyle of rejection, 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 rejection. That's a terrible way to live. I hurt for these people. I want to help them. You don't have to live that way. And so, as these views were confirmed to me, it made me more committed to how can I help them. And in 1 Corinthians 6, let's go to biblical. Larry, are you sure that's a sin? Is that just not just some choice people make? Well, go to the Scripture. Scripture is very plain here. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'll never forget it, Flynn Hill, one of the most outspoken men when we converted these two young men, was a man, he says, if they come to get together, I'm not going to shake their hand. I don't think, you know, and he was very angry. And you know what his problem was? He was a hidden alcoholic. And his wife was a hidden alcoholic. And actually, alcoholism had gone through their family for generations. He later changed it. He later repented of that. But, you know, you can have one hidden situation here and another one that has great similarities. We can come out of sin. Isn't that great? And for all of us today, where's our battle? Where's our struggle? Keep fighting the battle. Keep having good relationships with God. Forgiveness of God. Be around Christians. Christians, we ought to be the very people that those who are coming out of this are asking for help, ought to feel comfortable being with because we love them. You take the lexicons. It defines homosexuality as we would understand it today. The man or a boy submitting themselves to other men. Sodomites, actually, there's different types of male homosexuality. One who acts as a male, per se, and one who acts as a female. I won't get into all of that detail. But, again, nothing new under the sun. It is spoken of in Scripture. Other verses, 1 Timothy 1:10, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the godly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers or fathers and murderers or mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there's any other thing, there's contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, he wants to be healthy. He wants us to have abundant life now, as well as being with God for eternity. Jude verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality. There's a lot of ways you can do that. What we talk about today is one way, but there's other ways. We've seen people, they've just gone crazy. And they got caught in pornography and different types of pornography, and they went down a path into a very destructive lifestyle. We see this. This is a common problem. But don't say it's okay. Don't say I'm born this way. Don't say somehow that is my identity. No, sin is never your identity. Your identity is with God. God has created you in a way to pursue Him, and when you don't find that, you will be miserable. Giving themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh and set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sin is dark. I want to help others. We're trying to help one another. That's what we're doing in the local church. We want to see reality, see Scripture. Don't change the Scripture. Let us change our hearts. And you know, if you talk about, I won't get into all the statistics, but the actual practice here is unhealthy. There are things in the actual what is done that is not good for the body. But again, we're not going to go down that path. And I suggest to you that if you think the relationships of being rejected, being a person hurt, you think that's going to be healthy to your mental health, you really don't understand it. And it's so sad to me of how our government agencies have been completely compromised in these things. And we're seeing the fruit of that, where we're allowing young boys and young girls who are innocent to have their bodies mutilated because of their parents' political views and their own confusion. We live in a dark age, but guess what? We can't change that, but we can know what is right and we can help people. The snare of sin is powerful. One of the real struggles that you find when people get into this, first off, they commonly, it's not always the case, they commonly have had either trauma, a hidden sexual abuse, or they've had a poor relationship with their father. Here, the ones, in my personal observations, the four things in common: an angry or distant father that they perceived had rejected them, parents who had a poor marriage relationship, depression characterized by bouts of anger, and an unwillingness to discuss their anger. And see, this is the thing about this type of thing. People won't help, but people, we don't talk about that. I can remember when I first started studying this, like, I have no idea what I'm dealing with, but I learned. And when I learned, I said, yeah. You know, I don't have those desires, but I can understand. You see, the person who struggles with these things, they're not like some pariah, some freak of nature. They're like us. They can be helped like us. And here's this one brother who comes out of alcoholism or addictions. Here, this brother, they have this issue. You see, this is something we don't want to put these people at arm's length and somehow treat them as if there's something unalterably wrong with them. No, they're people that have experienced things just like us. But one of the worst things that can happen is when you come out of the closet and you get closely tied within what we'd call the homosexual community, because then they act as a fellowship and they try to keep you in. And when you try to come out of it, you've now established relationships that are going to try to pull you in. That is, you want to keep people from going down that path. They're pushed to promiscuity. And so, I think we've covered most of this, and again, I'll quote one thing, and then you look at the outline of this. It says, men who are associated with the gay community, and we're talking about having come out of the closet, I want to make that clear, were nearly four times as likely to have more than 50 sexual partners in the 6 months preceding the survey as men who are not associated with the gay community. This may imply that it is riskier to be out than closeted. A gay identity may be more pressure to be promiscuous and to be so with a cohort of other more promiscuous partners. And that's not a good lifestyle. And by the way, you can do that with men and women too. Okay, you understand. You've seen the playboy attitude, the person who does this. They're not happy people. This is not how to live. And so I'm going to move on from the statistics. You can look at these statistics. My heart aches when I see this. Now, the reason why I have these statistics, it is a lie, an awful lie that's being pushed in our school systems, that's being pushed in our government, that's being pushed in these celebrations. We are celebrating the imprisonment of people and the destruction of their happiness as if it's something good. That is not good. We can't change that either. But we live in dark ages right now, and we want to help people. One of the first things that we had to do as we work with these young men is deal with anger. Ray had the angry, distant father. His roommate had been raised in an alcoholic home, and the father would come home and beat his mother and beat him. And when people go through that, there's a lot of anger. And you have to deal with that. What has happened to me? Oftentimes they're angry at Christianity, and sometimes they ought to be, because there are Christians that claim to be Christians that treat them as if they're the piece of garbage and there's no love expressed. And so I can understand there's a lot of anger you got to work through. And you see, they've had to be in the closet. They've had to be quiet. You know, I didn't mention this last night, but I will tell you that, you know, uncontrolled anger in the home. There are those men that have been public, again, I'm trying to be careful with this, that are well known as preachers or elders or songwriters or stuff like that, that their children, it comes out later, they had tremendous disrespect for what was going on in private in their home. We need to understand that those folks dealing with this, that they've got a lot of things they've got to work through. It'd be great if they could do it with the Christians and have help. Here's what I'm talking about here. 2 Timothy 2:24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those that are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on transgender issues, but briefly, I have worked with parents. I have known young ladies that went down this path. I have not as many as dealing with male homosexuality. But in the cases that I've seen with the female path, is one case, there was a wonderful family. I know them well. I'm close to them. And they had a babysitter that sexually abused one of the daughters, and it did not come out. And so going through abuse in a private way, many times there would be those that choose this path. Now, there was another case that just stuns me to my heart. Every Memorial Day, I always think of a couple of families that I would get with on Memorial Day. One of those families, a woman I knew well, somehow later she came out as a lesbian, left her husband, and even ended up on NPR talking about how bad the church was to her. But I know a little bit about her background, and she was very promiscuous, and there was a lot of problems in that marriage before she chose that path. And you'll look at statistics sometimes when it comes to transgenderism. Sometimes it is abuse, and sometimes it's just somebody being very promiscuous. I've worked with her daughter. I've worked with others. And that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And so again, you talk about lesbian issues. Now, transgender, a little different. Sorry, lesbian. But transgender, I had one of my children once have an interaction with one girl that was transgender. And again, you go back to the pattern there. A lot of anger coming out of a home, confusion. And we hurt for all of these people. It is important. As you look in transgenderism, this is why the tragedy of our government is a great tragedy. You only had a very, very small people who had that confusion. They didn't know if they were male or female. But now what has happened, because of the push of the government and what has happened in our public schools, it is exploding with people saying, I'm this, I'm that. It is an absolute tragedy. And anyway, you can look at statistics. There's not many that have had that issue, but now it's being fashioned as being something neat to do, something to try. And you simply cannot deny your anatomy and your DNA. And then again, we can talk about all of that, but it is insanity. It's not reality. So what does the grace of God teach us? The Bible says in Matthew 19:4, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? God knows who we are. We need to understand reality. I'll have to tell you, I never dreamed in my life we'd be at this point with our government, in our society. I really keep thinking, I'm in the Twilight Zone. Remember the old Twilight Zone? You know, I think Rod Sterling is somewhere. This can't be reality. And I'm not belittling this. But how in the world can we deny the plain reality of who is a boy and who is a girl? and to have even a Supreme Court justice try to ask, what is a woman? And they can't answer that. Again, I don't want to get into politics except to say we can pull close to God and we can understand reality. When you deny reality, you're going to be in trouble. We're not defined by our sexuality. We don't determine if we are man or woman by some sense of identity. That's not how it works. One more point, and the lesson will be yours here. What do people say today? I was born this way. I want you to notice something carefully. There was a time where people wanted data. They wanted evidence. And I like that. Okay, is there evidence? I do believe in my study of male homosexuality that there's a personality type that's pretty dominant. 80% of male homosexuals would be of a certain personality type. That personality type is inborn. But because you have that personality type, it has nothing to do whether or not you choose to become a homosexual. There were environmental reasons why that's the case. But if you notice, since 2014, 15, when we had the Supreme Court ruling, there is no effort for scientific proof anymore. We have had a radical rechange in our government and being forced down through the institutions, being forced down through our corporations, that now if somebody chooses an identity, you just got to accept it. Here's a close friend of mine that lives in this area, and his son was on an athletic scholarship out to Colorado. He's leaving there now, but he was so shocked at what he saw in the college and in schools. There are people that openly in school, they call them furries. They identify as an animal or a cat or a cow or a donkey or a mosquito or whatever. And you're thinking, we're making this up, and you cannot criticize them. We are living at a level of insanity that goes off the scale, and it's being force-fed to our children today. I want reality. If you can prove there was an inborn nature that were, I would desire this, you know what the Bible still would tell us to do? Don't follow that desire. You know, if I'm tempted for immorality, what I need to do, I need to put to death those things because I look at what God says. If I'm tempted to alcohol, if I say I've got some genetic predisposition to be an alcoholic and I drink alcohol, guess what? You deny that. Now, I think you can change that desire too, frankly. Romans 8:13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Walker and I in Auburn worked with some young men that wanted to be Christians, that were Christians. And we worked to fight that battle. And you can win that battle. You can win that battle. No, if I have that desire, then God tells me what to do with it. And the Bible says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. I know some young men then that were tempted down this path, and they stood, and they married, and they had a wonderful home. Some are preachers of the gospel in this area, you would know, but I'm not going to tell you about their background because, you know, there's no need to know that. You can win the battle. You can have a happy home, be a great father, dad, Christian. I want to give you optimism in this. Here's another argument. If you deny practicing homosexuals members in your church, you are bigoted and hate-filled, just like those who hated blacks in the 1950s. Well, no. Are you really relating somebody who's born with a skin color is the same thing as someone who chooses sexual immorality? No. We've already answered that. That's not the case. I want to do what God wants. I want to give them the grace of God. And that's important. Political tools are being used to silence people today. Now, here's the last one, and I'm telling you, brethren, some of these non-traditional churches, you need to understand, they are cutting off the foundation for the stand. And church at Birmingham, I'll never forget this. There was a brother that David Hartzell worked with in Tuscaloosa. He came to be part of the church at Birmingham, and the church of Birmingham celebrated his letters to the editors about how Christians were hateful toward homosexuals and how Christians did this and that. And there were young people in that church that publicly on their Facebook talked about, oh, the Bible does identify what a family is. And this man later came out as a practicing homosexual, became a homosexual activist. And some of these other young people that went down that path, they later died because of drug overdose. These were people that I knew. These things are being used to destabilize people, and you need to understand that this is... Some people say, well, we're reading the Bible wrong. Okay, show me. Let's look at the verse. Oh, you need to understand about the trajectory of Scripture. You need to understand cultural context. Get them to prove those things. The Bible has been true. There's no trajectory of the Bible where I use my imagination to understand how it evolves this culture. We're concluding with Isaiah 50. Brethren, this is broader than just a few situations with people. This is a battle that we're fighting right now in the church, and it will involve everything. Has God spoken? Is His way clear? I want to stand on that with love, but I will not compromise. And some of you may lose your jobs. We've got a respite for now, but I'm afraid we've got to... Did you know if I preached this lesson right now in Great Britain, I'd be arrested? If I was in some of the European countries, I could not even put a sign out on the street and I would be arrested. There are a lot of folks. So again, whatever happens, we're going to stand with God, okay? How do I know what is right? Isaiah 50, another servant song. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of a servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Now notice the alternative. If you want to come up and create a new standard, you know, we're going to be not legalistic. We're going to have insight. We have real love, not like these brethren that have all these rules. Well, okay, here's these people. Verse 11. Look, all you who kindle a fire, not God's light, you kindle the fire. Who encircle yourself with sparks. Now, guess what? You know what human wisdom is? You're very excited about it for a moment, but it comes and it goes. It's a fad. Walk in the light of your fire and the sparks you have kindled. This year you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. I don't want that for anybody. Torment and the choices of this life. In torment in facing God, not having respected His delivered words. I hope I've been understood. This should be a positive lesson. God's way works. Let us help one another be understanding, but let us not waver from the God who loves us and created us. If you're not a Christian this morning, we extend to you the grace of God. The invitation to become a Christian, to be born again, born to a new life, raised to walk in newness of life. When you become a Christian, Romans 6:1 says that we don't continue in grace that sin may abound, but grace changes us. Take the first step this morning. If we can assist you in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?